Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the We're Not Experts History Podcast with myself, Sarah, and James. Hello, James.
I wish you wouldn't say they're exciting because that puts pressure on me to try and be exciting. And these aren't exciting.
No, I mean, it's your turn, isn't it? So no, it's not going to be exciting for me anyway. Not. Maybe for you because it's kind of your thing, but and maybe for the listener. Busy.
Yeah, I'm already feeling sleepy. I haven't even started.
We could label it as a sleep podcast. You know, yeah, insomnia relief.
Yeah, that'd work. May cause drowsiness.
Yeah, which could be a good thing for some people. As long as you're not driving, do not listen to this if you are driving, just to say.
Yeah, that's why. We're operating heavy machinery.
Yeah. Anyway.
So. Yeah, but the sooner we start, the sooner we can all go and do
something. Go to sleep.
Today, listener, I will be taking you back to the mid-20th century, into the 1950s, during the Cold War, and a rivalry that extended much further than your political and your military arenas into space. Ooh. And it was a space race between the Soviets and the US. Quite a... dramatic, very expensive competition, I would imagine. And with the aim of achieving your superiority in space flight. So both nations wanted to reach your orbit. Eventually, they both wanted to land on the moon. I think the Soviets eventually put a probe or something up there before the States landed men up there. And this race pushed, really extended the boundaries of human exploration. Beyond your scientific feats, and they were extremely powerful symbols of technological might, national pride, and an ideological triumph, either over communism or over capitalism, depending on who came out on top. And the public achievements of this era, like the beep of Sputnik or Yuri Gagarin's orbital flight, as well as you've also got the Apollo moon landings, were celebrated around the world as a pinnacle of man's ingenuity. When I say man's ingenuity, I mean in the legal sense, meaning everyone, not just male. But beneath the surface of these celebrated victories, there was a world of intense secrecy. Most
I bet there was.
Side.
Yeah.
Oh, massively so, yeah. So whilst NASA were operating with a certain degree of openness, they'd share mission control dialogue and they'd publicise their launches. You had the Soviet Union space program was completely covered in a blanket of secrecy enforced by the state.
Right.
So every failure and setback and even the existence of certain projects was considered a state secret.
How are they going to improve if they don't discuss these things? Honestly.
It doesn't work. That's not how they see it.
No.
Even now, I don't.
I don't think they do. But yeah, we won't go into
No, they're very, very political. But the disasters, when they're disasters, they weren't acknowledged. So outside of anyone involved in the Russian space program, nobody knew. And this policy was born out of a desire to protect the Soviets' image of infallible strength and a system that was always successful. So as far as I'm concerned, they had to look perfect every time. So official announcements were very, very carefully managed. And they would only reveal successes and quite often keeping out names of key figures involved.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know if that to stop the Americans finding out who was behind it all and trying to steal them away or what, I don't know.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Completely unrelated, sort of, but you know when you see these people on YouTube or TikTok and they do that, my daily routine and they kind of portray this perfect image. But you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. And in reality, their life probably is nothing like that. Not knocking those people, just to say, you know, you do what you do. But it kind of reminds me of that, you know, that they're giving across this image that they are this, yeah, absolute force. And there's all this stuff going on that nobody knows about. And it's all being kind of brushed under the carpet. And
yeah. When those videos, how often do you see a day in my life? How often do you see them sort of... Well, I'll leave the camera here because I've got to go to the toilet for the third time today.
Yeah,
and they're not going to put it in. Yeah.
No, exactly, exactly. It's not it's not realistic. Or they probably angle it so you don't see like the messy parts of their house. You just see like the clean, perfectionist. Yeah, it's probably it reminds me of that.
It's nothing new though.
No, of course not. We're still doing it now.
Yeah, no, been on the royal family for years. Had relatives locked away in institutions. Out of the limelight,
of course.
Whether that was kept them from that limelight, or to so people didn't see that they
maybe
had relatives with congenital illnesses.
It's probably a little bit of both, to be fair. But yeah,
it may very well be. I mean, just to protect them to a certain extent. Yeah, and so, but this was the same sort of state managed culture of information control. That meant the world and the people within the Soviet Union only saw the triumphs, never the failures, which they, it sounds like Russia still does today. You still have that state-controlled media.
Mm.
So they're only feeding what they want to the people.
Mm.
And it was a stark contrast in transparency, which created a void of information.
Mm.
So you're only getting part of the story. I don't know how many people within Russia dared question this.
Mm.
But it's like a shadow realm where rumours could flourish and the slightest unexplained event could take on a life of its own. So you're just creating the perfect vacuum for conspiracy, which, I mean, today people would be all over it. They're stupid theories.
Yeah, they would be.
They drive me insane. Some of them are absolutely ridiculous, but and people believe them.
Mm-hmm. We won't even go there. We're not going to become one of those podcasts.
No, the people's inability to think for themselves is astounding at times.
Sheeple.
Back to this.
I call them.
That sounds like another awful Americanism.
Probably it fits.
Yeah. So, yes, anyway, back to the Soviet Union. That climate they'd created of extreme secrecy provided this fertile ground for the most enduring and unsettling conspiracy theory of this period, of this space age.
Mm.
And it was the existence of the lost cosmonauts.
Right.
And the theory goes that the Soviets, in its desperation to outpace the Americans in this race, had launched human missions that had failed. Catastrophically failed.
Oh.
Perishing in the vast silence of space.
So I assume we're talking about people dying if you say catastrophically.
Yeah.
Oh, I said it.
Yeah.
Catastrophically. Hey, well done me.
These
and I've had a beer.
Public heroes. These were unknown martyrs basically, and their deaths were erased from history. They were never acknowledged.
That's awful.
And for those on the outside listening in, for any scrap of information, the lack of official transparency from the Soviets was seen as a confirmation that something was being hidden and that the history of this space exploration wasn't as simple or as heroic as the headlines that the Soviets were managing suggests.
Yeah.
So we're now heading south away from the Soviets. To Italy, where we're going to, so obviously you've got the space age is in its infancy, and it wasn't just limited to your professional scientists and government agencies.
Mm.
It also captivated and held the imagination of your amateur enthusiasts amongst us and all around the world. People that I imagine I would have been fascinated. I would have stayed up until the early hours of the morning to watch Man Walk on the Moon on me black and white TV in the 60s. I think
most of the country would, to be fair. I mean,
and probably did at the time if they had a TV. They'd
yeah,
did.
I bet if you asked a lot of people that were around in that era, they will remember that moment.
I'm
going to ask my dad if he remembers that. What year was it again? I should know this, but what year was it again?
69.
I knew it was in the 60s. Yeah, yeah. So my dad, yeah, I'm going to ask him, but anyway.
Yeah, I'll ask mine. He probably fell asleep.
Probably missed the whole thing.
Yeah, amongst the amateur enthusiasts I'd mentioned were two brothers from Turin in Italy. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have a go at pronouncing the names. It probably will be wrong, but I've got Achille and Giovanni Giudice Cordiglia.
Okay.
Henceforth, to be known as the brothers, so I don't have to pronounce their surnames.
Yes, we'll just say that.
They were teenagers at the time, but they were deeply passionate about radio and radio communication, and as well as space exploration. So, but unlike your normal hobbyists, their curiosity led them to build a very sophisticated makeshift listening station in a bunker behind their home in Turin, which they'd called Torre Burt. I've no idea what that means. I should have looked it up. But they use a combination of surplus military equipment and self-built antennae. Mm-hmm. If you go online and look that up, you can find photos of a huge, a brilliant, very elaborate antennae on top of
antennae. I'm going to look that up. Go on, carry on. Yeah. I'm going to go and have a look.
Yeah, go for it. They tuned their receivers to pick up signals that most people wouldn't even have thought about. And obviously they then would receive these faint buzzing transmissions from early satellites and space probes.
Is it like this big scaffold thing? Sorry, I'm terrible host.
It looks like scaffolding.
With a big thing on top, a big like, wow. Self-made. That is very impressive. Yeah, wow.
Bear in mind, this is in the 50s, the Americans would have left a lot of stuff behind after the war.
Yes.
And they were going out and buying it up, picking it up on the cheap, and using that to build this radio station, this radio, well, not a listening station.
That is pretty cool. Yeah,
very impressive. And the brothers, they began their venture by successfully tracking the beep beep, the sound of Sputnik 1, which I will try and cut into this so everyone can hear it. And later on, they also picked up the transmissions from Sputnik 2. With which basically you could hear a beat, and it was the heartbeat of a dog in it called Laika.
Yes, I remember that. Yes,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, you remember in the 50s, you know, new year old.
I remember hearing about it after the event. Yes,
so the first, I believe it was the first being to be launched into space was this dog called Laika, and you could hear her heartbeat. But their technical prowess was remarkable for amateurs. And they were able to detect and record signals. There are recordings, the stuff they were picking up.
Yeah. Just to say, I literally just messaged my parents to ask if they remembered the moon landing. Yeah. And they said, yes, they do remember. Bearing in mind,
I messaged my dad. He said, man hasn't landed on the moon, have they? When was this?
Barely, I mean, to be fair, my parents are both approaching 70, but they have all, you know, they're very on it. And yeah, but they do remember. It's not something you forget, is it, really? I can imagine if you've witnessed that, it's not something that you will forget. But anyway, I keep interrupting. I apologise. Yeah, I will do it again, guaranteed.
Yeah, I'll make a note to interrupt yours more often from now on.
You always do.
I try to, just to pick it up for the listener. Anyway, back to these brothers who will remain nameless from now on. Their prowess, technical prowess, as amateurs is amazing. And they could, as I said, they were recording what they were listening to as well. So they still exist.
Oh, right.
And they were, this is stuff people would have heard about but wouldn't have been listening into. I mean, I don't know whether you could have picked this up on a normal radio or not. I have no idea. But they worked, they meticulously logged their work as well, and they documented times and the technical details of the signals they were listening to. And their success in intercepting these official Soviet missions is very well documented. And they were praised by local media. They were making the local media, the newspapers. There was a local radio station would talk to them about anything that was going on. So they were the experts.
Yeah.
But this initial credibility established a foundation for the far more controversial claims that they would be making in the next few years.
Yeah.
So as this space race intensifies, so does their efforts. And they become convinced that the Soviet announcements were only telling part of the story.
Mm.
And the sheer volume of their listening and their ability to pick up signals when others couldn't led them to believe that they were hearing something more than the well-publicised mission that the Soviets were announcing. In what they claimed were a series of intercepts, they began to record what sounded like desperate pleas and final moments of cosmonauts lost in space. And the transmissions were fragmented, often distorted, but the voices were definitely human. You couldn't mistake it for anything other than a human voice.
Oh.
As I said again, if you go online, go onto YouTube, look up Lost Cosmonauts.
I don't know if I want to hear it. I don't know if I want to hear that, because that's horrible. Yeah.
But these were not the triumphant, confident voices of your space pioneers from the 50s, early 60s.
No.
But they were, you could hear the fear. And obviously there's a disorientation and the panic as well.
Yeah.
And the brothers' claims were supported by these audio recordings. And they would have sent shockwaves through a very small but dedicated community of amateur space trackers as well. Because it does completely fly in the face of what people were being officially told. When Sputnik went up, it was a success. You could listen to the beep from Sputnik. They would have then announced that we've put a satellite into space.
Yeah.
If it had failed, we would have never heard of it.
No, that's the thing. So you wonder how many other things that have happened that we just don't know about.
Yeah. To contrast that, obviously, when the Americans were doing it, where they would announce we're going to have this launch at this time on this date, and when they failed, they announced they failed. So we know that there was a space shuttle explosion in the 80s. We know there was a fire in one of the space.
Was that the one that was on live TV? Was it on Blue Peter or something?
There was one where in late 80s, about 86, 87, where they were going to send a spacecraft in space, as you do with spacecraft, and on it was a teacher. She wasn't an astronaut, she was just a teacher, and the idea was she would go up there and she would broadcast lessons to different, probably English-speaking nations.
Hmm.
And everyone sat around, especially in America, they sat around their TVs in the schools to watch your space launch, and her school sat and watched as the it exploded.
Wow, awful.
Yeah, with their teacher on it. Funnily enough, everyone died. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Appalling. I don't know if that's because has happened more than once. I can vaguely recall, and I don't know why, but I feel like it was on Blue Peter, but it might not have been. It might have been another sort of, but it was, it was a similar thing. And I don't know if I watched it at the time or if I watched it afterwards, but yeah, they were literally recording the live launch and they were kind of, reporting at the scene. And yeah, you just saw the rocket go up and just explode, and it was just like, and it was live. And everyone's reactions, like nobody knew what to do. Like I can remember the reporter was just like, did that just happen? But
I can't remember one happening since then.
But it might have been the same. It might have been the same thing. I can only vaguely remember it. But anyway, it might not have been anything to do with Blue Peter. I just have Blue Peter in my head. But anyway.
We go back to Tora Burt and the Judicia Cordiglia brothers. Cordiglia, I should say.
The brothers. We'll say the brothers.
Yeah, the brothers. They had their routine monitoring took a dramatic turn, quite unsettling. In late November 1960, they're tuned into a signal that sounded unlike any that they had heard before. And now, bearing in mind that the Russians aren't giving you the signals. So they're having to find them for themselves. I believe they generally broadcasted on the same signal.
Right.
I can't say for them whether that is true, but that's from one thing I have read.
Right.
But in this signal, there is a rhythmic beating distinct from the usual telemetry, which they quickly identified as a faint SOS signal in Morse code. And yeah, so you can listen to it online. It is dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, 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 over and over.
Right.
And what was most alarming was that the signal's frequency was shifting as if the craft was moving away from Earth and deeper into the void of space.
Oh, okay.
For the brothers, this was evidence of a manned craft in trouble. Its rockets having fired in the wrong direction. It was moving away from Earth and there was nothing that could happen about it. And they apparently could do some work based on what is known as the Coriolis effect, which I have no idea what that is. But so they could work out from the strength of the signal or something like that, that it was whatever was producing this was moving away from Earth's orbit.
Right, okay.
So a few months later, early February 61, the brothers claimed to have captured an even worse transmission. And this audio, which they have released, contained what sounded like a human heartbeat and distressed, laboured breathing of a cosmonaut in distress. There's no clear words, only these sounds of a person suffocating and their last breaths in space.
So would that have been the same craft, they think? Have they been floating around for months?
No, this is 4 months later.
Wow. Awful.
Yeah. So this recording's nature did suggest that they're in quite a small claustrophobic as well.
Probably would have been claustrophobic as well, to be honest.
That's exactly, when you think about that, it's the feeling I would get, that especially if you're struggling to breathe, there's the air, maybe it's been depressurized, the cabin's depressurized, so you're running short of air. Right. And it left no doubt in the brothers' minds that they were listening to someone's final moments.
Oh, awful.
Yeah, they took some of their recordings, apparently, to a local doctor who listened to it and said, oh, yeah, that's definitely someone's heartbeat, and whoever it is hasn't got long to live.
Right.
Yeah. The most famous, apparently, even though I'd only heard about it recently, and controversial of their claims, was from May 61.
Right.
A few months later. This is just a month after Yuri Gagarin became the first man in space. And the brothers alleged they'd recorded the final moments of a female cosmonaut.
Female?
And a recording of a female cosmonaut.
Oh, okay.
And this recording contains a panicked voice speaking in Russian, funny enough, describing her craft burning up on re-entry. And in this, there's a series of quite frantic and desperate phrases, and she allegedly screams, I am hot, fire in the cabin, I'm not coming back.
Oh.
And I said, go online, you can listen to it. If you speak Russian, all the better for you. And this,
I can't.
This transmission, no, I can't either, so I've got to take their word for it.
Yeah.
This transmission just cut off abruptly, leaving this chilling implication that she died on re-entry back into the Earth's atmosphere. And the timing of this alleged tragedy preceded Valentina Tereshkova's historic flight as the first woman in space by 2 years, which makes it a little bit more sensational. This one, 63, she was the first woman in space.
But she didn't come back, so they kept it quiet.
This is Valentina Tereshkova was officially the first woman in space, 1963.
Yeah.
That's what the Russians are saying. But if what the brothers are saying is true, she wasn't.
No.
Because the other one failed, that they're now claiming she's the first one. So over the next few years, the brothers continued to make similar, equally shocking claims. And they'd alleged that they'd recorded transmissions from other missions that went wrong. And they included there was a two-person crew that pleaded. And they said, the conditions growing worse. Why don't you answer? Remember us to the motherland.
So are they just sending people off and then just, if it doesn't go quite to plan, they're just like, forget it. Just leave them.
That's a suggestion.
That's how it seems. That's awful. Yeah.
There's okay. also a later cosmonaut whose craft apparently veered off into deep space. Mm. And these recordings solidified the brothers' reputation as the primary source of the Lost Cosmonauts narrative. And it presented a hidden history of space exploration that stood out in very, very stark contrast to the official triumphant accounts from the Soviet Union.
Mm.
Yeah, so while they were recording and offering a compelling, quite tragic narrative, I think we can say, they had been met with decades of skepticism mm. as well as rigorous analysis by space historians as well as engineers. The core of the argument against their authenticity usually centres around the technical and linguistic inconsistencies, which do cast quite a doubt on their claims.
Yeah.
So one of the main technical issues, one of the main issues on the technical side, identified it's around the quality of the transmissions themselves. Because experts note that the raw signals, whilst they do sound human, they lacked that telltale telemetry tones and data streams that used to come with the authentic Soviet radio traffic, which right. suggests that this wasn't a spacecraft. You've also got, there's no known Soviet spacecraft or launch vehicles from that period that ends with the actual trajectories or missions that they others have described.
Right.
Yeah, it's suspicious. And there's, we also got another significant point of contention. It lies in the Russian, in the linguistic analysis of the recordings. And critics have pointed out that the voices on the tapes, while they speak in Russian, have what some linguists claim are non-native accents and use of incorrect grammar and terminology, which would not have come from a highly trained cosmonaut.
So are they thinking it's like a prank type thing?
Well, that's where we're going.
Sorry, I just ruined it.
That's right. It suggests that the voices weren't from a real space mission, but were produced closer to home. It's a quite a well-known detail that the brothers, they had a younger sister called Marissa.
Right.
Who convinced to learn Russian in apparently to help them translate languages. But it looks like it may have been her voice that was used.
Oh, okay. Okay.
With her quite Russian, amateur Russian language skills. Yeah. Which would explain the grammatical errors and that accent as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I imagine. I was going to say, even if you're fluent in a second language, if you're in a life or death situation, I can imagine you would revert to your mother tongue. I don't think you would. I would imagine anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So if they're saying that the accent wasn't a genuine native speaker,
they're saying it's a Russian person with a foreign accent.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, exactly. So. If we look at it from the historical perspective, these claims also present glaring contradictions with the known timeline of the Soviet space program. You've got the alleged launch of a female cosmonaut in May 61 is probably the biggest discrepancy.
Yeah.
The Soviet archives, which were declassified after the collapse of the USSR, confirmed that Valentina Tereshkova was not selected for her mission until late 61.
Right.
And her flight didn't occur until 63.
Right.
The Soviet Union, whilst being funny enough, were and still are, not that the Soviet Union exists, Russia, is very, very secretive. It was also really, really proud of these firsts. And justly so. I'm going to say they're right to be that proud.
Definitely. So
if they successfully launched a woman into space in 61, it would have been a massive propaganda victory.
Yeah.
That they would have celebrated that.
Yeah.
Probably not covered it up, regardless of the mission's outcome. But ultimately, most experts today would say that the brothers' recordings were either a clever hoax or well-intentioned misinterpretation of just unrelated radio traffic.
Right.
I would also say if they're listening to this, as amateurs. Why aren't other people around the world listening to this as amateurs? They're not the only people.
I was going to say, because are they the only ones that are picking this up?
I don't know whether the position being in Italy makes a difference, but I would have thought the Americans would be listening in.
But
as
they
well.
Couldn't. They couldn't be the only ones. Even if you think of Italy, there must have been other people, and you'd think as well that if they're reporting their findings, then other people would come and go, oh, actually, yeah. I've had. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really on the fence with it. I don't know.
If NASA aren't listening, at least the US military will be listening. And they've got places here.
They've been quite transparent, haven't they?
Definitely have had bases in Germany, in West Germany. So why are they not picking this up?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
But the most of the theories, the most widely accepted one is that they were very overly enthusiastic, and they were picking up signals from high altitude weather balloons, military aircraft, or even early tests from your non-human missions, and their desire to find a human story led them to misinterpret the sounds. I'm not sure I agree with that, but
a bit like when you go on a ghost hunt and you hear like knocking or whatever, and it's just the building settling or pipes, and you're like, oh my god, it's a ghost.
I wonder if it's like a ghost hunt. They found what they were looking for.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. They went into it looking for something, and they made sure that
they made sure they got it. Yeah,
yeah.
But this, the quality of this story, the fact it's still, I'd only heard about it this week, but there's plenty about it online.
Yeah,
and I found a website from 1996 which was talking about this. So it's nothing really, nothing new. Sharing this story, it speaks less to the factual basis and more to the atmosphere of that Cold War paranoia, and as well as your general human fascination with wanting to know the truth, which is why I always say it's why mystery is always so compelling, because we want to know the answer, no matter how disappointing it would be.
Yeah.
But the story, this story of the lost cosmonauts goes well beyond just your mere space age mystery.
Yeah.
It's become a very strong symbol within that broader context of the Cold War.
Yeah.
So for the West, you got the theory that you've got a form of political propaganda that was perfectly highlighting the perceived inhumanity and ruthless secrecy of the Soviet Union. The space program was often quite transparent with live broadcasts of its missions and public acknowledgements of its failures. Mm. The Soviets' policy of tolerance on anything but success did create that vacuum for people to try and fill themselves.
Yeah.
And this allowed Western media to sensationalise what the brothers' tapes had found as proof that the Soviet regime would happily sacrifice human life in its quest for global dominance, and then erase these people from history.
Yeah, it seems that's my input.
So, I mean, if you go beyond your propaganda, you've got the myth, which they found very fertile ground in everyone's fascination with this heroic tragedy.
Yeah.
And the idea of these brave communards, that was a band, these brave cosmonauts dying in anonymity and their final moments being broadcast.
Yeah, that's awful. That's awful. Yeah, that's.
It was far more gripping narrative than just your official reports. It tapped into this universal human interest in the underdog, obviously being from England or Britain, if you like. Mm-hmm. We love an underdog. And obviously, you've got this, there's the hidden truth, which creates a story of very secretive sacrifice, as well as your forgotten fallen heroes. I mean, if this is true, nobody knows. We've got no idea who they are.
Mm.
And it's a very, very powerful story.
Machines invented.
Basically, no, they haven't.
Sorry? That's the thing. I don't know that for a fact, and I don't even know if I believe that time is actually lineal. But that's a whole different thing that we won't go into. But yeah, imagine being able just to whip back to the 60s and ask people and say, "I find."
I've always been in, if there is a time machine, you can go back, because what's happened has happened and you can't change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. No, I don't. But then even that, anyway, we won't go into this whole lineal time thing because it's, brain melt. But
we are going back. I'm taking a camera.
Yes. But do you know, it's like when I'm sitting doing my family history research and I'm trying to figure out something, and I wish I could just nip back and go, right, what the hell was going on when this happened? Because I can't find you here, or this doesn't make sense. Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
Sorry,
you don't know yet, didn't
you? Yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like these recordings were probably faked.
So is that kind of like the yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so yeah, what happened is, obviously, you've got the Americans looked at these later on, and obviously they want to go in and discredit the Soviets.
Yeah.
For years, even now, they're head to head. The Russians and Americans do not get on.
We know this.
So American academics looked at this, and of course, if anyone's going to find proof of this, it's going to be them, and they are going to hold it over them for ages. And they couldn't find anything to back this up. There was no known launches, nothing to support these stories. So it does look like they were, I mean, I can't say for definite, but it would appear that they were fake, they're hoaxes.
I wonder if, so do you think hoaxes the brothers themselves, or do you think there may have been other amateur radio sort of interrupting the signal, if you like. But then, I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
I'd say it would be simpler if it was just the brothers doing it.
I think, yeah, like you say, it's a little bit like when you go on a ghost hunt and you're determined to find evidence that somewhere is haunted, you're going to take whatever you hear, you're going to attribute it to, it's a ghost. You're not going to be logical. I've been there.
There's a certain television program I will not name, where if nothing's happening, they'll start flicking stones at walls and things. I'm thinking more like that. They're not just looking and finding something that they're then twisting to their advantage.
I mean, that's different, because that's for entertainment purposes. I just meant if you go on a ghost hunt with
fraud as well. Not the term.
It's fraud as well, but
no, I'm saying the same. People go on a ghost hunt. Ghost hunts, and they are making sure they are finding what they're looking for.
Yeah, and I can imagine it being the same with this. They've obviously got an idea in their minds that this is happening, and when you've got that idea in your mind, you're gonna whatever you hear, you're gonna attribute it to that. You're gonna make it fit with what you believe. So yeah, that's what I think. But that's I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, they've got all this recording equipment. I think it was beyond their create this.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, thank you for that. Right, bye everyone. No. Well, that's interesting. I actually found that more interesting than what I expected to find it interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made any sense. But It's funny, because obviously I'm sure most people would have heard of the whole space race and all of that. I never knew this was all going on behind the scenes, all of this stuff. I had no idea. Obviously you didn't know until recently, so interesting. Concept.
And we do podcast. We are enlightening people to other stuff they have no idea about.
Yeah.
Or something like, we didn't know the Civil War. People know there was an English Civil War. They didn't know there was more than one.
No.
We're just expanding knowledge on subjects a little bit more.
Yes, that's what I think. Yeah, that's how I feel. So, well, I hope that you have been enlightened if you are listening to this podcast. I know I have, because this is news to me. So thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the podcast. Just remember, we are not experts. We are just two amateurs muddling through history.